Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, One Call, That's All. You can see him on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, and on X, all at the same time right now as we stream this bad boy live at WI Sports Radio. He is Jason B. Hershorn of the Leap Newsletter. What is going on, Jason?
Sparky, it has been too long.
It has. It has been a long time, and I am very curious to get your thoughts of what your reaction was last year. We just played Tommy Wirtz losing his ever-loving mind in excitement when they drafted Matthew Golden. What was your thoughts when it happened, and what are your thoughts now a year later?
In the moment, I think my reaction was a little more muted, certainly more muted than the reaction you just played. I thought they were going to seriously consider a receiver in the first round. I know the history at that point had been like two decades and change if they hadn't done so. But you just looked at what their needs were both in 2025 and in the years to come. You look at how the board ultimately fell leading into the pick that the Packers made. And, you know, Golden wasn't the player I went into the draft thinking they would land, but it wasn't a shock that they ultimately did that. It just kind of made sense from a need and process standpoint.
You know, the other part about this, too, is how much of what happened this year with Matthew Golden had to do with coaching, how much had to do with the quarterback potentially not trusting him, and how much had to actually do with him, do you think?
Well, he's a rookie, or was a rookie, so certainly some of that is that he was inexperienced at the NFL level. You know, he was a junior, a true junior coming out. So that was a factor that would always be a factor, will always be a factor for rookie receivers. That said, I think you have to look at the way he was deployed by the coaching staff. I do not think it is the case that Jordan Love didn't trust Matthew Golden. You looked at some of their high leverage situations when Golden was on the field and they had a pass. Those throws went to Golden on a somewhat regular basis, including, by the way, in that playoff game. Yep. So I don't think it's fair to say that Jordan Love just didn't trust Matthew Golden or that that was like a chemistry issue. It did appear as though those two were on the same page, at least often enough. But Golden just didn't play, especially after Christian Watson came back from his injury, just didn't play as big of a role. Now, that appears likely to change in 2026 and moving forward, but I think you have to look at the way he was deployed as being the primary reason, in addition to his inexperience, as to why his production was relatively low compared to what we thought going into the regular season.
So, Jason B. Hershorn, co-founder of the Leap Newsletter. Follow him on X at @by_JBH. All right, let's talk about how last night played out for the Green Bay Packers. I feel like the board felt really, really good, and Goody pretty much said the same thing about, hey, look, we feel really comfortable where we're at 52. He also admitted that they're not trading next year's draft choices to move up, so you can scratch that out of the realm of possibility. After hearing him last night, I feel even a little bit more comfortable with the idea that he potentially could even move back farther than where he sits at 52 to try to pick up another draft pick or two.
I think there was a scenario even before day one unfolded where that was possible, the trade back scenario from 52, because if you look at just what the general consensus is of both the Packers' needs and this draft class in particular, it does seem like the value for them would really be from about where they're picking right now through like the middle of round three, maybe even beyond that. So getting additional draft capital and moving back into that range would have made sense. However, I'm actually willing to make the opposite argument here. Because of the way the first round unfolded, and there's a handful of guys that I don't know that the Packers thought would all still be available starting on day two, I think there actually is a bit of a case for trading up from 52. The cost is always going to be more than you want for trading up, but it's not the same as it would have been if you were to hypothetically trade into day one from where they are in the second round.
Right.
They could do a relatively reasonable bundling of their picks, including that second round pick that they have, and move up into the early to mid 40s. Now, the reason why that might be significant is that gets you right ahead of the Miami Dolphins with John Eric Sullivan, a guy who probably likes a lot of the same prospects that you do. I mean, one of the players that the Dolphins drafted in round one, Chris Johnson, the cornerback out of San Diego State, someone that the Packers were heavily linked to. So if you feel like, yeah, there's actually more value for us in particular, given our requirements, than we thought there would be going into day two, and I do think that's a fair assessment, and you want to get ahead of John Eric Sullivan so you can actually get your guy, the argument is actually there.
Let me make the argument for this scenario, which Tommy Wirtz, who was on earlier, is pretty much demanding they take a corner tonight in rounds two or three. But I think I could make an argument that I could take Hunter Lee Hunter, the defensive tackle in round two, and potentially still have a chance to get Orange from Iowa State, another defensive tackle in round three, and then not have to worry about that going forward.
So my immediate counter to that is, it is always a risky proposition to depend on an interior run defender as a rookie. Now, this is true of whomever they potentially draft there. So if they were to grab multiple, yeah, you feel better about your chances because that's multiple swings.
Because you have
relying on rookies.
Right, but you have Hargrave and Wyatt right now in the middle. You still have Brooks, who again is undersized.
But they're not true run defenders in the way that you would want your nose tackle to be.
Correct.
Now, that doesn't mean don't draft one of those guys. I think it makes sense for them to, at some point between today and tomorrow, to add a real true nose tackle, even if it doesn't end up being as impactful in 2026. You're going to need that long term in this odd front configuration. But I don't think you necessarily have to worry about getting the nose tackle or the corner in particular with any of these particular picks. The way the board has fallen, you'll probably have decent choices in both positions in either of those rounds, and for corner in particular, going into day three as well. Like, the real glut of value at cornerback in particular is that late day two, early day three situation. And they have additional picks already because of the Dontayvion Wicks trade, where they could maneuver around, or if they trade back from one of their picks today, they could add additional capital there. So I think that they have a lot of flexibility. And as Gutekunst said, the board has fallen very well. And the other interesting thing that Gutekunst said from that presser last night is that he felt like there really was, after about pick 15, a kind of flattening of the talent curve for a while. And I don't think he was just speaking out of his rear. I think that he really felt that there were other general managers going into the draft who made similar comments. I think that's kind of like a league-wide belief for the most part. So it has looked thus far to be a pretty favorable situation. Now, that can change very quickly, right? Like, if like five corners come off the board in the first half of the second round, suddenly that doesn't look as generous to Green Bay. But that's part of the reason why I think they would at least make some phone calls about moving ahead so they can get one guy at least at a need position that they like.
Now, this is the other part of it too. So if we agree that defensive tackles will be there in the third round, and if we agree corners are going to be there in the third round, then could they go exploit other areas? Because I think there's going to be good interior offensive linemen at that pick still, and it appears there's still going to be some young, bigger meaning taller, athletic wide receivers that are probably going to be in that area as well at 52.
Yeah, the wide receiver one is the most interesting to me. That there is offensive line talent that would make sense for any team, but specifically Green Bay, in like the middle to late of the second round, especially with the way that the draft has unfolded so far. Wide receiver is very, very interesting, though, because right now that is not a need, right? Like, unless there's an injury we don't know about that occurred over the weekend, like, they have Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed. They still have Bo Melton, who we know that Matt LaFleur loves. But the point is, they feel pretty good about that group collectively.
Hey, one second.
But
Hold on. I don't want to interrupt you, but I do want to interrupt you real quick. So, did you know, I'll let you finish on the wide receiver thing. Did you know Bo Melton put on social media that he is running a league for Madden, and it's 32 teams, and it was first come, first serve, and anybody could get into the league to have a team, and then they play a full schedule, so you play whoever you play, right, and you line up your schedule so you can play the games. He didn't take the Packers. He took the Texans and then traded for himself.
The last part of that does make sense, right? If you're Bo Melton and you're playing the Bo NFL, Melton. You'd want yourself on the Madden team.
You don't take your team and your quarterback? That, I don't know, man. That's just a little weird. Sorry, you brought up Bo Melton.
I would say that might be some Gen Z you-know-what. I don't think that's that uncommon among that age group.
That's just weird to me. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, with wide receivers, they just don't have a lot of contractual runway with these guys beyond 2026. Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, the third-round pick from last year, are the only guys who have played meaningful snaps, and Savion Williams barely meaningful in that regard, who are under contract for next season and beyond. So we think Christian Watson is going to get an extension, or at least that's a conversation. It's also possible that Jaden Reed does, but right now they don't have contracts. And if you're Green Bay, you could make the argument that even if you plan to extend one or both of those guys, it makes sense to add, because Christian Watson has gotten hurt in virtually every season that he has played. And when you don't have him in your lineup, you see how it changes the passing game and really just the entire offense altogether. So having insurance for that, a guy who could have not just similar size, but similar field stretching ability, would make a lot of sense. Now, it's not like there's a million Christian Watsons running around, but there are guys in this draft, Chris Brazel the second, you can make an argument for Ted Hurst as well, who could replicate at least some of that and provide long-term upside on the boundary. So I absolutely think that that kind of thing is in play for them in the second round.
Jason B. Hirschhorn on Leap Newsletter. He is a must-follow on X at @by_JBH. Sign up for the Leap Newsletter as well. Okay, give me your top three guys that are, if they're there at 52, that you would want to see the Packers pick. Maybe you don't react like Tommy did with Matthew Golden pick, but you're excited and happy and clapping your hands.
So I don't have a lot of faith that these guys actually will be available at 52, but just because there's so many of them, it seems a little more likely that at least I thought a day ago that they would. So Caden McDonald is on that list. He is maybe the one nose tackle in this rookie class who I think could be an impact run defender out of the box. Other guys who I think could get there, maybe even during the rookie year, but I just don't imagine that they will be able to provide that in week one. And the Packers just don't have that position totally locked up right now. Caden McDonald, again, I think is the exception. Someone who, if the price is right, I would be willing to move up for if I'm Green Bay. But I think that's a name you have to look at.
Isn't he the one in the green room still, right? Is that who's in the green room still? Who's in the green room still?
He might be if McDonald's he was invited. I don't have that list in front
McDonald's
of me. But
yeah, it's McDonald.
He was certainly someone who seemed like a not necessarily a locked on day one pick, but someone who seemed, you know, at least a coin flip chance of going in the top like 25 or so. I actually thought that might be the pick for Chicago at 25. So once he got past Chicago, that got my antennas up that this could actually be a day two possibility for Green Bay. So that's one of the names. I would also say both of the cornerbacks from Tennessee, and for different reasons. Colton Hood, like just a hammered on Packers type, fits the need. And, you know, cornerback is a position that Green Bay would definitely like to upgrade on if they can for 2026, but they absolutely need to have more bodies there for 2027 and beyond. So it sort of checks both of those boxes. And then Jermaid McCoy, I don't know what the situation is exactly with that medical. I have heard that there are some teams that think that the medical is fine, like not great. And keep in mind, it's not like a physical where you get like a pass or a fail. There are degrees to this. Some teams will say, okay, this is pretty close to perfect. That's pretty rare, but it happens. And some people say, oh, we're absolutely not going to consider you unless it was like at the end of the draft, maybe not even then. And there's not really an agreement on Jermaid McCoy. There are teams that will not have him on their draft board because of the medical. There are teams that will have him at essentially a discount relative to his ability. I don't know if Green Bay is one of them. I kind of wonder if they are. Like, Green Bay, in certain ways, has had a very conservative medical staff, but that has not always applied to rookies. And we have seen him work out during the draft process. So that's at least an indication that he might be able to get through this injury for the short run, right? Like, maybe he's not a 10-year NFL player, but if he's an impact player over the course of that rookie contract, if you're Green Bay, you feel pretty good about that because of the upside that a prospect like that provides you.
That's awesome. Jason B. Hirschhorn, again, Leap Newsletter. Make sure go sign up for that so you can have that. And on X at @by_JBH. It'll be a must-follow tonight while the draft is going on, too. Jason, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
Great talking to you, Sparky.